I'm Bill Littlefield. When you watch the Olympics, you probably think you're watching the best in the world. But when a country sends a large contingent, as the United States does, determining which athletes deserve a ticket to the Games can be difficult and subjective. New Hampshire Public Radio's Sam Evans-Brown brings us this story from the sport of cross-country skiing.
Jenny Bender grew up in Vermont, in a family that was not into cross-country. For her first race in seventh grade, she showed up dressed for a cold day of sitting on chairlifts.
I remember being at the start line in alpine like gear, like snow pants and a big old turtleneck. Like way overdressed next to my fellow competitors on the East Coast that grew up with Nordic skier parents, and they've been in racing in spandex since they were four. I've got a picture from that time that, oh man, it's embarrassing.
But she was good. From 14 years old, she was part of the development pipeline for Olympic skiers. She qualified for junior national championships and then junior world championships. She got a scholarship to ski at the University of Vermont. This was when I met Jenny. I was racing in the Eastern Collegiate Circuit at the same time, but Jenny raced fast enough to be an NCAA All-American. After college, she felt like she could compete on a larger stage, so she started looking around for an elite development team that would help her get there, and landed at one in Minneapolis.
It was a really strong team. I mean, there were times at Nationals when we swept the podium.
In 2012, Jenny finished third in two races at U.S. National Championships. She was a powerhouse. In a sport where results are often inconsistent because of differences in technique or course profiles or wax performance, Jenny was top 10 in almost every race she entered that season. She was performing at or near the same level as the women who are now on the U.S. ski team. But then came that summer.
The skier is created in the summer.
Jenny was at a training camp with her teammates in northern Wisconsin, roller skiing, lifting weights, and running in the woods.
And so I was always the one, like, many times the only one on our team that just sprayed myself with DEET. I was like, I don't care if I get DEET poisoning. I don't want a tick on me.
But sure enough, despite all the bug spray, the last week of training camp, Jenny was feeling off. She was struggling to do her workouts.
I could not do these, like, easy running intervals. And I was like, oh, this is bad. Like, what is going on?
She went to a clinic and got tested and was told she had Lyme disease. Recovery can take a long time. But that wasn't all.
And an hour later that day, I got a call back from the clinic. And they said, Jenny, actually, you also have mono. And I was just like... I was overwhelmed.
Jenny was put on antibiotics and told to rest.
Resting is like prison. It's like the worst. You're like, no, especially mid-season. Like, I was feeling really good and really fit, and I couldn't even really go for a walk. I would go to the end of the driveway, and I would turn around and walk back and just feel drained. And I remember this, I wasn't allowed out in the sun because of how strong the antibiotics were on. I was on a month of antibiotics. I remember sitting in the living room in the dark during the day and just being like, I felt like I was melting into the couch.
This was where Jenny's story and those of her teammates diverge. The fastest racers from the United States, the U.S. ski team, spend their whole winter in Europe racing the World Cup. The domestic racing circuit, where Jenny had been killing it, is kind of like the training grounds for racing in Europe. Now, those women from the Minneapolis team she joined on the podium at national championships, one was Caitlin Gregg, who would go on to win a bronze in the 2015 World Championships. The other was Jessie Diggins, who just this past week was part of a historic Olympic gold medal-winning relay team. Remember, skiers are created in the summer, and Jenny had spent the summer of 2013 melting into the couch and stress-baking. She did manage to start training again in the fall, but when January rolled around, her fitness was only so-so. But still, she showed up at U.S. National Championships, the big stage for skiers who haven't qualified to go ski the World Cup in Europe.
I remember making it into the A final and just being like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I am so exhausted. The course fit my strengths, and I was raced very tactically, and I out-sprinted a few girls at the end, and I won my first national sprint championship, and I bawled afterwards, and because it was such a, I just was able to do that after all that I just went through, and I'm like tearing up thinking back on that feeling, because that result really saved me in a lot of ways.
Ups and downs would become the theme of Jenny's career. In 2013, she threw out her back, herniated a disc.
And I remember actually having to sit on the ground to get my roller skis on because I couldn't bend over to put them on.
Even so, that year she qualified to go to Europe for the World Cups that came after Sochi, her chance to prove herself with the best in the world and race with the U.S. team. But
a lot of them came back from Sochi with a really bad sickness, kind of the Sochi flu. And then I got sick a couple days later. And that was that trip.
Over the next few years, Jenny was racing very hot and cold. She wasn't having fun anymore. She was so wound up about her results that she was making mistakes, crashing.
Really, universe? What? Why?
Whenever she made it to the international scene, she wasn't having the results that she wanted.
Really, an athlete will tell you, like, you know, the cliche of it's about the journey, not the destination, which is very true. And it gets to a point when you're in it so deep, you're like, no, I want that damn destination. I deserve that destination. It doesn't help. I'll say it doesn't help.
Jenny always felt a step behind, a step below, as if her whole career she'd been playing catch up. She was just never able to string together enough good finishes to get to and stay at the top international level. Last year, Jenny was finally starting to feel like her old self again. She was once again winning or landing in the top 10 of almost every race she entered. She won a sprint at U.S. Nationals and was now ranked the best sprinter in the country for the fourth year in a row. But the U.S. team is currently loaded with good sprinters. And the rules were changed so that to earn a spot on the World Cup, a domestic racer has to do well in longer races, too. So once again, Jenny was passed over.
I was in Bozeman last February. I was kind of bummed. I was trying to find my happy again.
She decided to go play a game of pickup hockey. Have some fun.
Of course, no one's wearing a helmet, and someone just decides to slap shot the puck down the ice, and it clocked me in the side of the head. Everyone was like, oh,
Jenny got 5 staples in her head and a serious concussion. But even so, racers have to race. Every so often, Canada gets to host a World Cup. And when they do, the U.S. gets extra start spots. And Jenny was on track to qualify for one. She asked if she could skip the final domestic qualifier, but was told no dice. And she knew that getting that start in Canada would help her to get back over to the European World Cups and maybe to Pyeongchang. So she lined up at the start.
I was standing there with my skis watching my start time tick down. And I was like, no, I have to. Like, I have to. I don't care if I get brain damage. I have to race this race.
She barely did well enough to keep her spot, but says during the World Cup races, she felt like she was just floating along.
Just like, doo-doo-doo. Like, this was a huge event. I should feel something. And I was like, I feel nothing. I was just this shell of a human.
Jenny stopped to reevaluate. The Olympic team for Pyeongchang would be selected in less than a year, and her prospects weren't looking good. The first measuring stick the U.S. team uses is World Cup results. But if you're not on the U.S. ski team, it's hard to get the World Cup starts you need to make it. Criterion number 2 is coach's discretion. For this story, I spoke to a half dozen cross-country skiers who were on the bubble for Pyeongchang. And dissatisfaction with the lack of transparency and how those decisions on discretion were made was the uniting theme in those conversations. So Jenny says she asked the coaches how they would use it.
And they're like, well, like, no, nah, we're really just looking for standout performances. We're not going to just bring people to bring people.
Jenny was thinking only 4 athletes can start at each race in the Olympics, and the U.S. team already has at least 5 women who are capable of being in the top 30 in the world on any given day. And she seriously doubted that she could be faster than them. So why would they bring a domestic sprinter? They don't even need any alternates.
They just don't need it. It doesn't make sense.
Jenny decided she had no chance at Pyeongchang in cross country, and she decided to switch sports. As many cross country skiers do, she switched to biathlon. That's skiing and shooting.
Because I was like, I really want to make this Olympic goal. The biathlon criteria is clear. They have trials. You know, maybe I can pull this off. I don't know.
Considering that the common wisdom is that it takes 3 years to learn how to shoot, Jenny did pretty well. She qualified for some lower-level competitions in Europe, but not the World Cup. And not the Olympics.
I learned now, like, wow, biathlon is really hard. damn.
And it was while she was over in Europe doing biathlon races that she heard the news. The Olympic team had been announced, And one of the skiers was the current leader of the domestic sprint rankings, a slot that Jenny had been holding consistently for the last 4 years and was told would not be good enough to get her to Pyeongchang.
And I broke mentally, I broke physically. I was like, how is this possible? I felt kind of deceived and lied to, and I bawled. Sometimes there's certain things that make you turn inside out.
It can be a heartbreaking time for some athletes. They've put a lot into it, and when they don't make it, it can definitely be a challenge.
The coaches who selected this year's Olympic squad weren't willing to be interviewed, and I should note, I know some of them too. But Luke Bodensteiner is a step above them.
My name's Luke Bodensteiner, and I'm the chief of sport for the U.S. ski and snowboard team.
He called me from Pyeongchang. This can get pretty technical pretty quick, but the ski team says they got more spots for Olympic skiers than they anticipated, 20 racers instead of 18. Since only 4 men and 4 women can start each race, they certainly didn't need all of these spots. But if they aren't filled, they're allocated back to other nations, which is against U.S. Olympic Committee policy.
And that gives us an opportunity to enter more athletes in the Olympics than we have before.
So to fill these 2 surprise extra spots, they decided to just go down their ranking list and take the next skiers. And because the next skier happened to be a sprinter, they used discretion to overrule their stated position of only bringing 5 sprinters. Jenny's decision to switch to biathlon was a rational one, based on all the information she had at hand. But because discretion means that coaches can change their minds at the last minute, that rational decision now looks like the wrong one.
I don't want to sound like the bitter athlete that didn't make it. I'm trying to speak up so that this doesn't happen in the future. Suddenly, this life goal that I've had was right there, and the finish line was moved on me.
To be clear, we're talking about spots for alternates. They're the athletes who go over, march in opening ceremonies, hang out for a few days in case someone gets sick or injured, and then go home. If you're the U.S. ski team worried about winning Olympic medals, the stakes here feel pretty low. But when you've devoted your entire life to an obscure sport, hoping that in one of those moments every 4 years that the world turns its attention to what you do, you'll get to be on that stage, it feels pretty important. And it feels pretty personal.
That story was brought to us by Sam Evans Brown. He's the host of New Hampshire Public Radio's excellent podcast, Outside In. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. We'll also have a link at onlyagame.org.